The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 1, which will also serve as our sermon text this morning, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Indeed, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After agreeing to pay the workers a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. He also went out about the third hour and saw others standing unemployed in the marketplace. To these he said, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will give you whatever is right." So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. He went out about the 11th hour. He found others standing unemployed. He said to them, "Why have you stood here all day unemployed?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He told them, "You also go into the vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, starting with the last group and ending with the first." When those who were hired around the 11th hour came, they each received a denarius. When those who were hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but they each received a denarius too. After they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "Those who were last worked 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have endured the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not make an agreement with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. I want to give to the last one hired the same as I also gave to you. Can't I do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" In the same way, the last will be first, and the first last. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see wonderful things in your teaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1946, the famous comedian and outspoken atheist named W.C. Fields was on his deathbed. And as an outspoken atheist, it was very surprising for a nurse to come in one day and see him flipping through the Bible. When she gave him that questioning look, according to the story, he responded, "I'm looking for a loophole." That's how some people see deathbed conversions to Christianity, like a loophole. You mean to tell me these people can live in unbelief their whole life long, reject God, do all these wicked things, and if they just believe in the last second, they get to go to heaven? Someone like maybe a famous example, Jeffrey Dahmer, the serial killer, killed 17 people, murdered them, did strange things to their bodies, horrible person, goes to jail, comes to faith in jail, is baptized before his execution. You mean someone like that gets to go to heaven? Behind the incredulity there, behind maybe the offense, is the age-old statement. We learn it from the time we're a tiny little kid, from the time we look across the table and we see that someone else has a little more than us. It's the phrase, "It's not fair." Is God fair? Jesus takes up that objection. He takes up this idea with this parable in Matthew chapter 20. He shows us that God does not work the way people expect him to work. But that doesn't mean that he isn't fair. And it doesn't mean he's handing out loopholes. It means God works in a way even more wonderful than we would. If I can summarize much of the parable, Jesus says God is like a vineyard owner. He owns this big industry, he got it ready, and he needs workers. So he goes out early in the morning, and he finds people sitting around 6 a.m., first hour, and he says, "Come, work for me." They're happy. "Great, we're not unemployed today." They come to an agreement. "Okay, we'll pay you what you deserve, a full day's wages, a denarius. Great, they're excited. They go to work. Then the owner goes out again at the 9th hour, or 9 a.m. He goes out at lunchtime. He goes out at 3 p.m. and he gathers more workers again and again. Come, come work. I'll pay you what's right. They're happy to be hired. And then he goes out again. At a time no human person would go out and require workers, at the proverbial 11th hour. 5 p.m., 1 hour until the workday is over, he goes out into the marketplace, and these are not Gold Star workers he's finding. They're like the teenager who doesn't have a job in the summer, sitting in the basement playing video games, and you go down there and you say, hey, why aren't you working? And they say, nobody hired me. Did you do any applications? This guy goes out at 5 p.m. and he finds these workers, like my dad would say, standing around with their finger in their ear. And he says, hey, you guys, why are you standing around? And they say, well, no one hired us. And he says, come, work for me for an hour. And they come. And if this is how the parable ended, everybody would be happy. Or if the parable went on but ended differently, everyone would be happy. If the first workers came up first and were paid what they were promised and then left, they'd be happy. But God doesn't do things the way humans would. So what does Jesus say about the end of this parable? Everybody comes up, but the last workers go first. The ones who worked 1 hour, they come to the front of the line, and what do they get? A full day's wages. Ooh. For 1 hour of work, great. A denarius, next one. A denarius, next one. A denarius. All those workers get paid a full day's wage. And here you can almost see the 9 hour workers getting excited, rubbing their hands together, salivating a little bit. Oh, baby, if they're getting paid a full day's wages for an hour, what are we going to get? Closer to the front, closer to the front, closer to the front. A denarius. Same as everyone else. Just what they were promised, just what they were happy to work with when they were hired in the morning. But what's their reaction now? When those who were hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but they each received a denarius too. After they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were last worked 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have endured the burden of the day and the scorching heat. They grumbled. Why? It said they thought they would receive more, and you made them equal to us. For 9 hours, they had been happy. No complaints. They were hired. They had a job. They did the hard work. Yes, the digging and the planting and the pruning and the fertilizing and the watering. All that hard work. And they were happy to do it until they looked at the other workers. Until they compared themselves to everybody else and thought, we should get more. Earthly speaking, they should, right? They worked longer. They did more. It doesn't make sense from a human perspective. It makes so little sense that an early commentary on this parable tries to explain it in a way we can understand. The person writing about this parable says, well, look at what actually happened. What happened is that Jesus went out and got those last workers, and they were such good workers that they got done in an hour what the other people had gotten done in 9 hours. That's why they got paid the same. Make sense? Maybe from a human perspective. But that's not God's explanation. How does God answer these grumbling workers? It says he says to one of them, very specific, speaking to one of them. What is he doing? Well, he's addressing each one of us too. He answered one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. did you not make an agreement with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. I want to give the last one hired, the same as I also gave you. Can't I do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? In the same way, the last will be first, and the first last. Why did the owner give just as much to the people who came in right at the end? Was it because they found a loophole? Because they cheated, they gamed the system? What does God say? What does the owner say? I wanted to. I'm generous. I want to give them just as much as I gave you. Wait a minute, are you upset? Are you getting evil because I'm good? Are you envious because I am generous? When we hear God's explanation, it's helpful to think about what came just before Jesus told us this parable at the end of Matthew chapter 19. What had come at the end of Matthew 19? Well, someone had come to Jesus kind of wanting to work, someone called the rich young ruler. He came up to Jesus and he said, Jesus, what do I have to do to earn eternal life? Give me the job. Give me the work. Here we go. And Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. And the rich young ruler said, piece of cake. I've done that since I was a child. And Jesus said, oh, okay, Mr. Perfect. Then how about this? I'm God and I'm telling you, get rid of all your riches. Sell all of that. Give it to the poor and come follow me. Easy, right? Then you will have treasure in heaven. And what did the rich young ruler do? He walked away sad. Now that's too much work. Now, I don't want to do that for God. Jesus, the work is too difficult. He walks away. But that got the disciples thinking. Right after that, the apostle Peter looks at Jesus and he says, wait a minute. Well, we've given up quite a bit to follow him. Jesus, what are we going to receive? Your disciples, we've left our homes. We've left everything to follow you. And Jesus doesn't scold him. Jesus says, amen, I tell you. Peter, when I come back on the last day, when I make everything new, I'm going to give you and all the disciples heaven. If you've given up anything in this life, don't worry. You'll get 100 times more in the next life. Awesome. Now that seems fair. The rich guy goes away. He's not willing to pay the price, but the disciples, they gave up a lot for Jesus, and they get heaven. All right, this makes sense. But to show the disciples that this isn't anything they've earned, that this doesn't make them better than the rich ruler, Jesus tells this parable. To show them what would happen if the rich ruler came back. Think about it. The disciples, they spent a long time following Jesus, giving up everything. They'll receive heaven. They sure will through faith in Jesus. But what if the rich ruler came back, not as a rich young ruler, but as a rich old ruler? What if he decided Jesus isn't worth it and he lived his whole life in a mansion and he still looked like a good person? People liked him. They treated him like a celebrity. He did everything he wanted to do in life. And then at the very end, he came back to Jesus and said, oops, I believe in you now. Now can I have eternal life? Yes. Same as the disciples. Is that fair? If that makes us upset, if things like that, if God's goodness make us upset, it says more about us than it does about God. That's how the owner responds here. Think of a person like the great church father, Augustine. A long time ago, he was following Jesus, wrote a lot of wonderful things. Martin Luther studied him. You'd look at him and think, wow, a great guy in the church. But he struggled like every Christian, and one of the sins he struggled with particularly was lust. And a prayer that he had about this, that's kind of a joke, was this. He would say, God, make me chaste, but not yet. In other words, God, can I have a loophole? Can I live for you later? Because that works, right? You'll just forgive me then. This kind of attitude can come with us too. With maybe you have been hired in the first hour. God has given you this job. He's given you faith. He lets you work for him. But then when you start comparing to others, that's when it gets frustrating, right? I have been giving good offerings in this church my whole life long, supporting the church, supporting the school. And then those people came in and they took advantage of this school. They didn't even give any offerings. And they get to enjoy everything. I come to church every single Sunday. But then that person came and they picked his favorite hymn or her favorite hymn. Shouldn't I get my pick? I've been here more. God, I've worked so hard to be a good family man, to stay in this marriage, even though it's difficult. And those people, they didn't even know Jesus. They lived however they want. They've been divorced 10 times. And then they come to church in the end, and you say, I forgive you. Well, they just did whatever they want. Well, then why am I working so hard? Do we become evil because God is good? Do we become envious of people who weren't working because God is generous? Are we looking for a loophole? God, what about me? Can I live however I want for as long as I can, and then you just save me in the end? Because that's what's happening with them. It's not fair. But look at this parable from the owner's perspective instead of the workers. As the workers look around and they compare themselves to others, those first hour workers, they get angry. They show the evil that's in their heart. But what's coming from the owner? What's coming from God? Pure good. All the time. Even for people like that. Even for people who had come to the front of the line and say, I don't like this denarius anymore. God was good. God was good to people like them. God is good to people like us. Look at the owner. He's so excited. He gets up early in the morning to bring people into his vineyard. Quit standing around. Come work for me. I'll give you what's right. And he goes out again. He wants more workers and more workers. Again and again, he goes out and finds people. He gives them work. Why? Because he's generous. Because he wants to give his wealth to them. He's not robbing from anyone. He's giving it all from himself at his own cost. This is what God has done for us. If God hadn't come out and hired us, we'd still be standing around with our fingers in our ear doing nothing spiritually. But God came to you out of pure grace. The last people we would expect, and he made us first. And he lets us work for him. What a joy. And you know, he makes us equal to someone much better than us, to our Savior Jesus. Think about Jesus, what a great worker he was. He didn't have to go out and get hired. He'd been working from the very beginning, from eternity, to save you, always doing the right thing, always being perfect. He worked perfectly for his heavenly Father. And then God comes out and hires us and gives us the heaven that Jesus earned. And you don't see Jesus folding his arms and saying, oh, these people? You're going to let these people work with me? You're going to pay them the same as me? You remember everything I did? No, Jesus is happy to pay that price, to have God give us heaven. It's not unfair. It's right, but only because Jesus earned that for us. And it is generous because we don't deserve it, but God gives us heaven anyways. Paid for by Jesus' holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and death. He paid the price so he could be generous to you. Whether you're a 6 a.m. worker, a 9 a.m. worker, a 12 p.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m., it doesn't matter. God is generous to all of us. And that's a joy for both the early workers and the late workers. A woman named Karen Edmiston considers herself a late worker. She has a special place in her heart for this particular parable. We wouldn't maybe consider her a deathbed conversion, but she came to faith at the age of 30. And as she puts it, she grew up thinking the Bible was fairy tales. She grew up as a know-it-all. She didn't want to hear anything about Jesus. But again, as she puts it, she says, God kept knocking on her door. She had a friend named Jack who was a Christian, who kept talking to her, who drank coffee with her, had long debates, had long walks, even long arguments, who said, Karen, I'm praying for you. And Karen would say, stop praying for me. And he would pray for her anyways. And finally, at the age of 30, she was given faith. What does she have? Heaven. She thinks about this parable and she mourns. She wishes she had those 30 years back so she could work for the Lord in those years. But she's rejoicing now that God has hired her, that God has brought her in. And what about Jack, who's now the godfather of her children? Has God done him wrong? Poor Jack. I mean, he had to work that whole time. He had to do all that praying with her, all that debating, years and years of working on her when she wasn't doing any work for the Lord, and now she gets the same heaven as him. Of course not. He has the same joy that God has been just as generous to her as he has been to him. This is our joy. You know this joy. When a baby comes here to the font, that baby has done nothing but giggle and fill its diaper. This hasn't earned anything from God, but Jesus says, I want this baby to be equal to me. I'll give them my perfection. And that baby receives heaven. And the 11th hour worker, that person you never expected to believe in Jesus, but there at the end, the Holy Spirit is still at work and gives them faith. And with their last breath, they believe in their Savior and they are given heaven. That's a joy. And it's a joy for us working in the vineyard to see that. Karen finishes her book by saying, I am simply put a sinner who is not willing to give up on anyone because no one gave up on me. She says, never give up on the potential deathbed conversions in your life. It is a grace and a privilege to be the friend who is still around at the end, ready to offer whatever is necessary to help another soul find Christ. If we are present at such a genuine moment, we will know without a doubt that a deathbed conversion is not a loophole or an unfair advantage for the other team. It is the mercy of God at work. Grace is not a loophole. It's God's generous goodness at work for us and for those with whom we share it. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.